Luke chapter 18. Just go ahead and turn there. Luke chapter 18. Verses 1 through 8. Then he, Jesus, spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard men. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, Avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, Though I do not fear God nor regard men, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? There's a parable that doesn't need a whole lot of explanation, but essentially Jesus is telling his disciples these things so that they would not lose heart when they pray. How many of you have prayed and felt that God did not answer your prayer in that moment? Ever felt that? I have. I want you to know the admonition of the Lord today is do not give up in your prayer. Do not lose heart in your prayer. For some reason, Jesus gave us a heads up, an expectation that we ought to have, that prayer sometimes needs to be consistent and persistent. We need to pray the same thing, and we need to pray the same thing again and again until it happens. Now, perhaps Jesus is giving us a clue, because he's essentially letting us know that there are obstacles to our prayers being answered. And the first and most important obstacle to our prayers being answered is this question of faith. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? I haven't done a study of this, a word study of this, so I couldn't tell you the exact context and exactly what the words mean. I'm just taking them at their literal face value in an English Bible, and I'm trusting the Lord that in the translation of these scriptures, God has intended something to be transferred to me in my Western mindset in the 21st century, right here on Cape Cod. I'm telling you that there are all kinds of things we could learn by studying the Eastern context of the Scripture. I'm telling you absolutely categorically that there are ways that we should understand this that will change the way we have understood it in the past. But let me also tell you that I believe that God is sovereign in the handing out of Scripture, and the Scriptures that you have in your hands today have been provided for you by the Lord. And I must trust this. This is elemental. I must trust that God is intimately involved with every part of my life, including the very scripture that I hold in my hand and proclaim to be the word of the Lord. So, at the end of the day, with or without study, let us ask ourselves the question, will the Son of Man find faith here? Because prayer and answered prayer are two different things. And I'm going after the answered prayer. How about you? All right, I want you to turn with me also to a couple of other scriptures. We're going to go and have a look at Mark chapter 16. And as you turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 16, I'm going to tell you a story. The reason why I have healing on my mind is because my family has been sick for a week. My wife was very sick. My son has been sick and in bed, missed all kinds of school. My daughter is feeling sick this morning, and I was starting to feel sick last night. And so my whole family's been sick. Nick's been just fine. He's happy as a lark, fit as a fiddle, no problem there. And I was starting to feel a bit sick last night and thinking, wait a second. It's funny how when you start to feel sick, suddenly things start to change. I started feeling sick and saying, this isn't going to happen. This isn't going to happen. Now, how many of you think that we can have power over sickness? Anybody? Well, you guys are just all kinds of, full of yourselves. I've never had any power over sickness, but God has power over sickness. Trick question. Sorry. Caught you all there. Changed it up. I can't make myself well. Well, maybe I can. I can eat the right foods. I can exercise and I can try and keep myself well. But honestly, it's God who made me fearfully and wonderfully. Look at yourself. Go ahead and take a look at that awesome body of yours. That's right. That's right. Come on. All you young guys, check out those muscles. All the young ladies, just, you know, take out your mirror. Look at your beautiful body, the body that the Lord has given you. It is magnificent. It is a work of art. And it is magnificently made in every possible way. It is intricate detail, all the way down to the very DNA and the molecular structure that builds that thing. I'm telling you, God has made you incredibly well. And God is able to keep you well. At some point in our lives, we're going to have to make a decision. And young men, young women, you are at that stage of your life right now. Those of you who are older, you are at that stage right now. I am putting you in a place where you've got to make a decision today. Do you believe in the supernatural? I'm not looking for pat answers. I'm not looking for the right answer. I'm looking for an honest answer. I'm looking for an honest answer. The natural world is what you can see, what you can prove through empirical evidence. You can gather and amass the data. You can look at it and you can see it in a factual way. You can scientifically approach the problem and you can develop a concept that will bring you to some sort of an answer. And it's what you see and it's what you can experience. You can make predictions based on what has happened in the past and you can look at all the signs and come up with a formula. That's the natural world. The supernatural is this ethereal place. There's some place out there where we say there's stuff that happens that we can't explain. And science will never explain. It's not just that we're ignorant and we don't know how to explain it. It's not just that we haven't got the wherewithal in our beautiful brains to figure it all out. It's that there is something supernatural that goes beyond the natural, that involves itself in our natural world from time to time, that enters into our natural world, that you cannot prove through science, you cannot capture on tape, you will not get a photograph of it. It's a miraculous intervention of something beyond us. And that decision, whether to believe in just the natural or the supernatural, whether to go with science or the idea that there's a God behind the science, is a fundamental decision you must make. And I'm telling you today, you must make that. You must make that decision here. You're going to have to make that decision here. Because I'm going to tell you, if you believe only in a scientific, natural world, then I have no help for you and I have no hope for your sickness today. I have no way that I can impart anything. What is the laying on of hands going to do? In what way is that scientifically going to do anything? How can I impart, what is it, molecules of something, of like heat maybe. I'm imparting heat to you right now. Oh, it's whatever. What is this? Are we going to be airbenders? Is this what we're going to be? What is this? Is this some sort of a psychobabble where I come up to you and I lay hands on your head and somehow in that, there's no factual anything. I can't do anything. I have no medicines to give you today. I'm not going to dispense medication. I'm not licensed to do that. I'd end up in jail if I tried. And they'd write stories about me and have me on the news all over America and the world. Pastor gives his congregation prescription medication on Sunday morning. I have nothing to give you except the promise that God will honor the faith of those who put their trust in Him. I have chosen to believe in the supernatural. That doesn't make the supernatural real. The supernatural was real long before I ever believed in it. And because you or I may choose not to believe in it for some moment, doesn't make it not real. God is way beyond us, and He's bigger. And He's wanting to invade our world. Heaven touching earth. You say, Pastor, you're full of hocus pocus. You're giving us false dreams. Am I? How is your science working out for you? How's your doctor's prescription worked out for you this week? Still feeling sick? It's wonderful that they can give us tablets and pills and they can try and do things. I love doctors, don't get me wrong. I thank God for doctors. I went to the doctor this week, took my wife to the doctor, took my son to the doctor. I thank God for them. They told us the pollen count is way high this weekend. And those who don't have allergies should expect to have some allergic reaction because the allergens are just way off the chart. The doctor gave us a heads up. That was good. It was nice. I walk around with a little mask all day. But I need more than a doctor. Sometimes we've got issues that we can't deal with through science. And you're at a place where you're left in the lurch. Science can't help you. Science can only tell you the facts, but science can't give you a promise. Science can't tell you how to come through to the other side. And God says to you, I'm able to heal your disease. I'm able to cure your disease. I'm able to meet your needs. I'm able to develop and work within you character. I'm able to change you from the inside out. I'm able to give you the things that you desire because I am the one who provides these things for you. I am the God who is the beginning and the end, and I know the end from the beginning, and I reveal the end from the beginning. I am the God of the supernatural. I can intervene in the affairs of men if you trust me. And so Jesus says, don't stop praying. I read an article this week because it was the National Day of Prayer on Thursday. Did anybody of you guys, any of you guys remember that? National Day of Prayer on Thursday. And I read an article earlier in the week about prayer. It was on America Online. They had it on their news thing. They had something on there about intercessory prayer. And they talked about how they did some scientific studies on intercessory prayer and how it's bogus. It doesn't help anybody. They did these independent studies where they went into hospitals and they had random people that they'd selected to pray for and random people they'd selected not to pray for. And they went and did all these studies about how prayer actually didn't make any difference in anybody's life whatsoever. Well, we talked about it on Wednesday night during the prayer group meeting, and Mike Terrell, who's a professor of psychology, Dr. Michael Terrell, he came and he said, hey, it's interesting that they come up with that study, but here's the thing that they didn't take into account. Who was doing the praying? Because quite honestly, you could have some Buddhist out there praying, and he can pray all day long. His God is not going to hear anything. Okay, you can have some Hindu out there praying to, you know, Krishna. They're not going to hear anything. You say, Pastor Eric, you're so politically incorrect. Yes, I am. Because quite honestly, those people are believing lies. They're believing lies. They're believing that idols can hear them, that things made out of stone can hear them. And you say, well, Pastor, you're just so ignorant. They don't believe in stone idols. Those are just representations of them. Yeah, representations of nothing. You say, well, who are you to speak? You're God, you can't even see. Go ahead and pray to your stone idol. And I'll pray to my God. And the one who answers, he is God. When it all comes down to it, we just need an Elijah moment. Because I'm not going to wrestle with you about who's right and who's wrong. Let God answer for himself. Let God answer for himself. And if God heals, then he is God. You say, okay, I think I'm ready for that. I'm ready to watch that fire fall. Can we get a front row seat? Come on, Elijah, take on the prophets of Baal. It's 1 Kings 17, in case you want to know the story. No, I don't want you to take a front row seat. I want you to participate. I want you to be the one crying out to God. I want you to be the one in intercessory prayer. Because of course, their study shows that nobody got help because they got the wrong people praying. And they're praying to the wrong person. Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? And I'm asking you, when the Lord comes to you and to your home and to your heart, will he find faith with you as well? We have a responsibility, my friends. We've got to give God something to work with. We have to give God something to work with. You're asking God to get involved in your life, but you're not giving him anything to work with. All we need is a mustard seed of faith, and God will move mountains for us. We'll speak to the mountain will be moved. You don't believe me? Right here in the scripture. But before we get there, we were in Matthew Mark chapter 16. Here's what the Bible says in Mark chapter 16 regarding faith and regarding us who believe. Jesus, in Mark 16, at the end, when his ministry has come to an end, he's about to be received up into heaven. And this is after the resurrection. This is when Jesus has been meeting with his disciples and proving to them that he is resurrected Christ. He is the promised one, and he is the one who has made our relationship with God possible because he has wiped away our sins. Now, he's imparting to us that we have a mission. We're not just saved, but we're saved in order to do something. We're saved in order to enter into the presence of the Lord, to have a relationship with God. And in that relationship with God, we are to reach out to the world around us and to bring them to a relationship with God as well. So we have a purpose. You're not just saved, you're saved to enter in. So here it is. This is what we're entering into. And these signs, he says in Mark 16, verse 17, these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Okay, reading through that scripture, which some of us have read before and gotten all excited about in the past, and then gone through years and years of not seeing it happen, we've got a little bit of stuff we've got to work against here. We've got some disappointments. Anybody ever been disappointed that you did not see the sick healed when you laid your hands on them? Anybody? Okay. Anybody ever pick up a snake and get bitten? Okay. Hopefully not. You guys aren't out there playing around with snakes. But let's talk about that for just a minute, because some of this verse is metaphorical and some of this verse is just straight up straightforward. And how do we know which is which? Well, we could probably try to do word studies on it and try and figure out. But I'm going to say it's always a mistake to read the text and not read it literally. Okay. It's always a mistake. So you should read the text, read it literally, and then ask God, God, how exactly do you want this to work out in my life? It's always a mistake to read the text only literally, okay? So you need to not only read the text literally, but you also need to ask God, God, what are you saying that's a little deeper than what is on the surface here, okay? So let's take up this snake issue for a minute, and I'm going to look at a couple of examples of picking up snakes and not being harmed by them. David Wilkerson. 1960s, I think it was, or maybe the 1970s, he feels called by the Lord to go into ministry in New York City, in probably the worst part of New York City, in the worst time when crime is at a high, the drugs are just, it's just out of control, and he's going to the gangs of New York City, and he's called by the Lord, this country boy from Kansas or somewhere, I don't know where he was from, but he's out there to go and preach the gospel to these people who are totally different culture from anything he's ever encountered in his life. He was picking up snakes. That's what he was doing. It was metaphorical, of course. It's not a real snake, but he's picking up snakes because those guys could kill him. Not just, you know, bite him. They could kill him. But guess what happened? He picked up the snakes. They didn't harm him. God used that man. He had a mighty, mighty, mighty ministry to those drug addicts and those gang lords. And he ended up saving, you know, leading many of them to Christ. They got saved. They had an incredible ministry. Still have an incredible ministry, Times Square Church. Absolutely fantastic. So they picked up snakes, didn't harm them. There it is, a metaphor. But in case you think it's only metaphorical, it turns out that back in the old days, in the days of Paul, the Apostle Paul, preaching the gospel, he's shipwrecked on the island of Malta, I think it was. Anyway, Acts chapter 27, you can read the story. He's out there, he's been shipwrecked. God rescued him and all the guys that were on the ship. Nobody died because Paul said, the Lord said, if you just do such and such, he'll save you all. So they did it, they got saved. They're on this island, they shipwreck, don't really know where they are, and they're gathering some sticks to make a fire, and he goes to throw the sticks on the fire, and a viper comes out of the sticks and just latches onto his arm. It's one of those vipers that bites you, you're dead. Well, he just shakes it off into the fire and carries on gathering wood and carries on doing what he's supposed to do. You know why? Because Jesus said, you shall take up serpents and they shall not harm you. Well, he didn't die. Then they thought he was a god because he didn't die. And then the whole island started listening to him preach because he said, no, I'm not a god, I'm just a man, but I know God, and let me tell you about God. And they all listened to him, all got saved. Pretty crazy story, right? So we've got a metaphor of picking up serpents, and we've got real picking up serpents, and it's okay. Here's the rub, this is the story. God says, you trust in me, and don't you worry about all those unforeseen events that could happen to you that could get you in trouble. I'll take care of that. I'll cover your back, you just move forward. That's what God is saying. So when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? Or is he going to find a whole bunch of people afraid of snakes? I say we should just move forward. And if we pick up snakes in the meantime, not knowing, oh, that was a snake, don't worry about it. God's got you covered.